Hey, this is Michelle, and you're listening to Words with Michelle, the podcast, a show where I sit down and have conversations with influencers on a range of topics, anything from natural hair, employment, discrimination, food, relationships, and everything in between. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. If you want to send me an email, hit me up at michelle@wordsmichelle.com. Thanks for tuning into the latest episode of Words with Michelle, the podcast. Full transparency, the show was recorded way back in March of this year, but I had to put it on the back burner due to other projects I was working on. Yep, I know, I always say that, but it's 100% true. I'm continuing to work on those projects, but I thought to take a break, walk away from them, clear my head, and listen to my unreleased episode. I listened to the episode a few weeks ago and I enjoyed the content. I found it very timely and something I often discuss with friends and family. So today's topic is working while Black. Don't let the title confuse you or scare you or even intimidate you. Working while Black is different from just going to your job and completing your tasks. Working while Black, or just being Black in the workplace, can be physically and emotionally draining and plays a huge part in how you are treated by your coworkers, your boss, and even your clients. The topic came up when I had a talk with a friend of a friend. She's a Black professional and has several years of experience working in the corporate world. I've worked in every industry you could possibly think about. Everything from marketing, customer service, teaching, and employment counseling, you name it. So we both started talking about how awkward it can be working while Black. Working while Black is simple. It's not just dealing with microaggressions. It's having to code switch. And code switch means having to adjust one's style of speech, appearance, behavior, and expression in ways that will optimize the comfort of others in exchange for fair treatment and employment opportunities. Long story short, it means changing your personality and how you speak just to fit in. While we were both talking, we both agreed about our general feelings of discomfort that we experience. I have an abundance of experiences to draw from, but I wanted to hear and include someone else's experience, not just mine. So I sat with Dionne Bowers. She's a senior insurance professional with over 20 years of experience. She operates her own consulting business. She's an educator and a published author. And we discuss what our experiences have been like working in an office setting and the corporate world. We spoke at length about code switching, acting, and like I said, trying to fit in just to succeed at our jobs. I would like to thank Dionne Bowers for sharing her very personal story with us. So starting off the show, I asked Dionne to tell us a bit about herself. Welcome to the show, Dionne.
So my name's Dionne Bowers. I am a business owner. I'm a published author as of recently, and also a co-founder and vice chair of the Canadian Association of Black Insurance Professionals. I've been in the insurance industry for over 20 years in different capacities, different verticals, and have now migrated to the education side of insurance. So I run my own business as a consultant. I work with a number of, whether it's brokerages, insurance brokerages, or insurance institutions that have that education component. And help them, you know, elevate themselves and as far as understanding insurance and, you know, the ins and outs, licensing, designations, anything along those lines.
What has been the most frustrating thing for you being a Black woman in the workplace?
So my experience, a lot of it has, it centers around the politics and being a Black female watching colleagues rise, and you have done what you have been told to do to get to the next stage. So getting your designations, working hard, working on weekends, working past your allotted 7.5 hours. And the political game is something that I've never been part of. I've never enjoyed it. I've had to do it to get to certain points in my career. However, it's exhausting. It has been a situation where I have to literally assume another personality to get to that next level. And so I talk about being authentic more so. I've talked about it in the last 5 years, because that's really when my TSN turning point took place, where I'm just like, you know, I'm done. I'm so over being that other person, because you have a personality between the hours of 9 to 5, and then you have your own personality after those hours, right?
Okay, so I want to ask you. Sorry, yes. What is that personality from 9 to 5? What is that personality?
Oh, it is the validating of individuals that you just didn't, you don't have any time of day for, you don't respect as far as leadership goes. Okay, I'm being a little raw here, but it's just, this is the reality.
Yeah, I don't mind you being raw. I think you're being real. I think you're being truth and being genuine. I don't think you're being raw. I think it's just the fact that you've seen what you've seen. You're just speaking about your own experience.
Yeah. And, you know, it's very challenging to look up to people who are your leaders on paper and not get a lick of learning from them. So, you know, my experience after exiting corporate, the one thing that really stood out for me is that I had a leader tell me that I was the smartest person that she knew. Right. And for me, I didn't even have a response for that, because at the end of the day, I'm just kind of like, so are you learning from me, your subordinate, or am I supposed to be learning from you? Because how I go into a role is I want to know that the person who I report to has more experience, has more knowledge, because that's the growth process at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
But to have that turned around and be said to me, I will never forget it, because it sat with me. It still sits with me. And I use it in conversation, because it's not how the system works at the end of the day. Right. So for me, between the hours of 9 and 5, those core hours, it was a person that I didn't even recognize, if I could say that.
Yeah.
And it was laughing at jokes that just made no sense, just so I could fit in. And I'm not about it. Like, if I find you funny, I find you funny. If I don't find you funny, I'm not going to laugh. And you'll see it on my face. My facial expressions are something that I'm very passionate about, because you know where you stand with me, right? So there isn't this, you know, what's Dion thinking? It is point blank. This is who I am, and kind of take it or leave it type thing, right?
Yeah.
And so I held roles where I was front facing. So I was part of the brand, selling the brand of the organization. And so being on the road, being traveling and all that stuff, that already came with its own level of exhaustion. And then you had to put on a face to continue that. And by the time you crashed at night, fell asleep, you don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want, and that took a toll on my personal life, because I wasn't able to be that social being that I know I can be. But I just, you know, I've had 12 hours of being in front of people, whether it's in meetings, whether it's training and development, whatever the case was. And so that level of exhaustion took on its own life, and did a number on the mental health, because at the end of the day, it's just kind of like, I don't feel like doing anything. I don't feel like, you know, seeing my friends or even hanging out with my family, never mind my friends. But it was just, I didn't want to speak to people. It sounds bizarre, but.
No, I get it. Cause you're mentally exhausted, and you don't.
I'm mentally exhausted.
You've been acting for like so many hours a day that you're like, I don't have anything else to give. So I just need to retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
And it's self-preservation, right? At the end of the day, if I know that I have to do this again for the next 2-3 days, I really had to reserve that or preserve that energy so I could get through the next few days. And by the end of the week, it was just forget about it. So weekend plans were few and far between. Like, I would muster up some energy to do it, but it really took its toll. You know, I had some health issues as well, just trying to like physical health, just trying to keep up. And so I don't see my male counterpart suffering from this exhaustion, right? Because you're there.
Do you think that's it's a female issue more so than a male?
I feel like it is because of the fact that, you know, females are nurturers. Females by societal norms are nurturers and they want to get stuff done, right? And so in my experience, you know, you have different buckets of those who want to get things done and how they do it, to the point where I feel like Black women are on the verge of perfection because of that microscope that is on them to get stuff done and get it done well, right? Because there are people out there who want to poke holes in what you do. They want to put the blame on you at the end of the day. So my whole thing is that you're compounding the problem by asking that much of me without even asking that much of me, because I know that my work ethic is going to be, you know, 110%, maybe 150%, whatever the case is. But I don't see that in everybody, right? And so I see male colleagues, yes, work hard, but not have to do that to the level that we do it.
Wow.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it sounds incredibly exhausting and stressful and unfair. Like there's no level playing field.
Not a level playing field
at all.
Yeah. And you're on autopilot. Like it's just automatic. You get up in the morning, and this is from my experience where, you know, you're on all the time from 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning until your day ends. And so I tell a lot of people, you know, I don't have traditional work hours because of the fact that I am, and this is part of who I am, is that you're always connected. So being able to shut down, I've gotten better at it, but in my career, I had always been on, and it was just kind of like, if someone sent an email at 9 o'clock at night, I would respond to that. I didn't set my own boundaries, and it took me a while to set my boundaries. And so I like to impress upon that, with the younger generation, is that you're making sure that you're setting your boundaries. This is not about being promoted. It's not about rising to the top. This is about your own well-being, because you cannot get to the top unless you're in good physical and mental health, right? I don't think people really who are entering the insurance industry or any industry recognize the amount of pressures that go with, especially if you're a Black woman or a woman of color, the pressures that are associated to getting to the top. And within my industry, listen, if you make it to mid-management, you're lucky. I don't see a lot of Black women who are in senior executive C-suite roles. And that is something that I'm hoping, well, that's what I'm working towards. I'm hoping through the association will make a difference to help elevate Black women specifically to, you know, senior VPs, senior executives, and beyond. And it's not to say that I wouldn't go back to corporate. It would have to be for the right job and where I am able to be my authentic self. Like, I get work done. I'm able to interact with different groups. I like to collaborate. So if it is that I have an opinion that doesn't strike a chord or sit well with you, I shouldn't be penalized for saying something like that. So at the end of the day, it's just kind of like, Dion, what are your thoughts? And I always preface by saying, are you sure you want to hear my thoughts? Right? Because we talk about real talk. I'm going to tell you what's real. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. And that's just who I am. So with my personal life. And
may I ask, were you penalized for just having an opinion?
In some cases.
Okay.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's just kind of like, all right, but you asked for it and I gave it to you.
Yeah.
But it wasn't what you wanted to hear.
Okay.
right? And so I find that organizations who really want to focus on change or change management within will take that feedback, right? And I've worked for organizations where it's just been a performance issue, where when I say performance, it's more performative than anything else. It's like, okay, I asked the question, I asked Dion for her opinion, so I'm checking the box. I don't really need to take her feedback, but I did it.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm just kind of like, that's not an environment that creates growth, that creates opportunities. I think it's just an environment that it's stale. And if that's how you want to build an organization, it's not something that I will fit into at the end of the day. I'm about growth.
So this kind of leads into my next question is, do you find that there are things that are changing? I mean, you didn't mention change management and everything. Like, do you think that things are changing due to, you know, companies having to have diversity and inclusion? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that is just kind of like, is that real? Like, is it actually happening in the workforce, in the workplace?
Yeah. And I mean, it's a great question, because someone had asked me that last year, if I had seen any change since the movement or the murder of George Floyd. And the only change that I really said at the time was that people were awake, right? This has been happening forever. The police brutality, the inequities, all of it has been around for years. You have just paid attention now because you've been forced to pay attention. And so with the changes within the work environment, yes, organizations are waking up to the fact that diversity, equity, and inclusion is key. It is key to success. It's key to growth, but it's always been there. So I'm, you know, we're in Ontario, which is probably the most diverse, province that I've lived in. And so, especially in the GTA. So I'm just trying to figure out how you think not having diversity would impact your organization. So, you know, the studies show that the more diversity of thought you have, the better your organization, or the more prosperous your organization can be. And so when you're speaking, and I'm just going to speak to the insurance industry, when you're catering to customers like yourself or myself, do you as a, I'm just going to use a white man, do you know what my needs are? Whether it's life insurance, whether it's property, casualty, auto insurance, do you know what my needs are? Because you haven't taken the time to understand what people of color, what their needs, it's not a one size fits all. What we suffer from, the Black community suffers from, as far as poverty, as far as food insecurity, as far as our healthcare, it's a marked difference from many other cultures, many other ethnicities. And so for a white male leader to impose certain solutions, product solutions, onto a community, an insurance consumer community, it's not a one size fits all, right? You don't look at it the same way. There are very different lenses. So when you don't have someone who represents those communities sitting at the head of the table, what's happening here, right? And so there are organizations who are making some progress. It's baby steps, because it's a lot. You cannot, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. So you cannot come up with this DEI solution overnight. It's making sure that there are people on deck to help support, build out that strategy. Do I think there are performative allies? Absolutely. Do I think there are people who are wanting tangible change? Absolutely. My desire is to support those who want tangible change. That's really where it is. And I'm willing to, and with the birth of the association, we are aligning ourselves with individuals like that, because it cannot remain the same. And it's not just the insurance industry. There's plenty of industries out there where pale, male, and stale. Okay.
Wow. The acronym pale, is, male, and stale?
Yeah. The acronym is PMS, right? So
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, own it. You can have it. Because again, it speaks to my point about the fact that what worked 20 years ago or kind of worked 20 years ago is not what's working in 2023.
Yeah.
So we have to, regardless of the industry that you're in, we have to make those changes to reflect what is happening globally. There is a shift in terms of majority versus minority. And if we're not paying attention to that, I mean, organizations are doomed to fail.
So let me ask, okay, so there's a third question then. It just made me think of something. What do you think about the static then, the people that are kind of opposed to this, the people that think that, I guess they're calling it affirmative action and that it doesn't causes more problems than anything. What do you think about that?
So the opposition, I think you're always going to have opposition. No one's going to embrace any and everything right away. I think it will take certain events to say to organizations, oh my gosh, we're not doing this right, right? This is, again, we talk about turning points. 2020 was one, and you had large organizations saying, holy moly, we are not doing this right, and implemented what they needed to implement. There are others who, you know, those are the large corporations, but you have others that don't have the resources to act like a Nike or act like, you know, H&M or any of those large global brands. So at the end of the day, it's going to take them longer. Do they have intentions, good intentions? Absolutely. But, you know, you're going to have those individuals or those organizations who are grossly opposed to making change. And that's fine. That's who you are, right? We live in a democracy. You can have that choice, right? But is it going to impact you reputationally? Is it going to impact you operationally? Is it going to impact you financially? I just use types of risks that we talk about in insurance. Operational risk, financial risk, branding, right? Is it going to impact you? Absolutely. There are organizations that I don't do business with. I no longer do business with from a consumer standpoint because of their lack of movement. And these are large global brands. There's a lack of change or willingness to change. And so I'm not going to give you my money. I can go without those items. Find it somewhere else.
At the time of this interview, which was March, Dion stated that she'd be sitting on a panel for International Women's Day. So I asked her more about the talk.
So I'm sitting on a panel for on Wednesday for International Women's Day to talk about the barricades to Black women rising in corporate. So what has been the struggle? And so on the panel, there are quite a few women and two men that will contribute to the dialogue. And I'm excited to hear about that because we don't encourage men enough to speak up, even though we want them to. We kind of figure that, you know, oh, I'm pro-woman. I'm like, okay, so what are you doing about it? Right? You can't just sit back and watch it go by. There has to be some sort of motion on your part to say, these women matter, right? Pay equity matters. All of the stuff that women have been fighting for years and continue to fight for, there needs to be that, we talk about allyship, and I hate that word, but the support.
I kind of don't like that word either.
Oh
I
my
don't feel
gosh.
like it means anything, to be quite
It's
honest.
overused.
It is overused. It just
Oh my gosh.
doesn't mean anything.
Anything, but it's the support. And it could be as minimal as just sharing something, right? That female voice has said.
So before I end the show, I wanted to include a clip of Deanna and I speaking about what it's like to have to kind of play down your skills and your intelligence in the workplace. Check this out.
Because I just can't deal with the stress. It was too stressful on me.
It's a lot. It's
It's
a
a
lot.
lot. It was a lot for me, you know. I don't want to be like, and you did have to dumb yourself down. People always like, because people get angry when you know something. It's like you have to. I always remember explaining to someone why I knew something, and like, why would I have to explain to you why I know this? I'm not
Yeah.
stupid.
Yeah.
I can
I
read
try.
it. You know what I mean?
I said this is sorry. You just brought something up, the dumbing it down. I tried mediocre for one day. I tried it and I couldn't do it. Like, it was just kind of like, how do you guys do this every day? Like, how do you do this?
Wow, the show went by really quickly. But Dan and I were able to discuss some of the inequities we feel while working in the workplace. I thanked her for her candid discussion and for speaking her truth. Thanks, Dion.
Thank you for taking the time out of your day to speak with me, and
No
answering those
problem. Thank
questions
you.
and sharing your experience as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is important. And I was just talking about this because, I being vulnerable, a lot of people are just, they're hesitant. But I just said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I cannot just stay silent. And so, writing about it, talking about it, whatever I can do just to get it out there, happy to do it.
Thanks for joining me for the latest episode of Words with Michelle, the podcast. If you enjoy the podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on Apple Podcasts. Just a reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions or would like to provide feedback, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can email me at michelle@wordswithmichelle.com. You can also email me if you have inquiries regarding sponsoring the show. Thanks for listening. Until next time, bye.